Day 174, 2 Kings 4:18 through 5:27. One day, when her child was older, he went out to visit his father, who was working with the harvesters. Suddenly he complained, "My head hurts, my head hurts." His father said to one of the servants, "Carry him home to his mother." So the servant took him home, and his mother held him on her lap. But around noontime he died. She carried him up to the bed of the man of God, then shut the door and left him there. She sent a message to her husband, "Send one of the servants and a donkey so that I can hurry to the man of God and come right back." "Why today?" he asked. "Is it neither a new moon festival, nor it is neither a new moon festival nor a Sabbath?" But she said, "It's all right." So she saddled the donkey and said to the servant, "Hurry, don't slow down on my account, unless I tell you to." As she approached the man of God at Mount Carmel, Elisha saw her in the distance. He said to Gehazi, "Look, the woman from Shunem is coming. Run out to meet her and ask her, 'Is everything all right with you, with your husband, and with your child?'" "Yes," the woman told Gehazi, "everything is fine." But when she came to the man of God at the mountain, she fell to the ground before him and caught hold of his feet. Gehazi began to push her away, but the man of God said, "Leave her alone. Something is troubling her deeply, and the Lord has not told me what it is." Then she said, "It was you, my Lord, who said I would have a son. And didn't I tell you not to raise my hopes?" Then Elisha said to Gehazi, "Get ready to travel. Take my staff and go. Don't talk to anyone along the way. Go quickly and lay the staff on the child's face." But the boy's mother said, "As surely as the Lord lives, and you yourself live, I won't go home unless you go with me." So Elisha returned with her. Gehazi hurried on ahead and laid the staff on the child's face, but nothing happened. There was no sign of life. He returned to meet Elisha and told him, "The child is still dead." When Elisha arrived, the child was indeed dead, lying there on the prophet's bed. He went in alone and shut the door behind him and prayed to the Lord. Then he laid down on the child's body, placing his mouth on the child's mouth, his eyes on the child's eyes, and his hands on the child's hands. Then the child's body began to grow warm again. Elisha got up and walked back and forth in the room a few times. Then he stretched himself out again on the child. This time the boy sneezed 7 times and opened his eyes. Then Elisha summoned Gehazi. "Call the child's mother," he said. And when she came in, Elisha said, "Here, take your son." She fell at his feet, overwhelmed with gratitude. Then she picked up her son and carried him downstairs. Elisha now returned to Gilgal, but there was a famine in the land. One day, as a group of prophets were seated before him, he said to his servant, "Put on a large kettle and make some stew for these men." One of the young men went out into the field to gather vegetables and came back with a pocket full of wild gourds. He shred them and put them into the kettle without realizing they were poisonous. But after the men had eaten a bite or two, they cried out, "Man of God, there's poison in the stew." So they would not eat it. Elisha said, "Bring me some flour." Then he threw it in the kettle and said, "Now it's all right. Go ahead and eat." And then it did not harm them. One day, a man from Baal Shalishah brought the man of God a snack of fresh grain and 20 loaves of barley bread made from the first grain of his harvest. Elisha said, "Give it to the group of prophets so they can eat." "What?" his servant exclaimed. "Feed 100 people with only this?" But Elisha repeated, "Give it to the group of prophets so they can eat, for the Lord says there will be plenty for all. There will even be some left over." And sure enough, there was plenty for all and some left over, just as the Lord had promised. 2 Kings 5. The king of Aram had high admiration for Naaman, the commander of his army, because through him the Lord had given Aram great victories. But though Naaman was a mighty warrior, he suffered from leprosy. Now groups of Aramean raiders had invaded the land of Israel, and among their captives was a young girl who had been given to Naaman's wife as a maid. One day the girl said to her mistress, "I wish my master would go to see the prophet in Samaria. He would heal him of his leprosy." So Naaman told the king what the young girl from Israel had said. "Go and visit the prophet," the king told him. "I will send a letter of introduction for you to carry to the king of Israel." So Naaman started out, taking as gifts 750 pounds of silver, 150 pounds of gold, and 10 sets of clothing. The letter to the king of Israel said, "With this letter I present my servant Naaman. I want you to heal him of his leprosy." When the king of Israel read it, he tore his clothes in dismay and said, "This man sends me a leper to heal? Am I God that I can kill and give life? He's only trying to find an excuse to invade us again." But when Elisha, the man of God, heard about the king's reaction, he sent this message to him, "Why are you so upset? Send Naaman to me, and he will learn that there is a true prophet here in Israel." So Naaman went with his horses and chariots and waited at the door of Elisha's house. But Elisha sent a messenger out to him with this message, "Go and wash yourself 7 times in the Jordan River. Then your skin will be restored and you will be healed of leprosy." But Naaman became angry and stalked away. "I thought he would surely come out to meet me," he said. "I expected him to wave his hand over the leprosy and call in the name of the Lord his God and heal me. Aren't the Abanon River and Paraphir River of Damascus better than all the rivers of Israel put together? Why shouldn't I wash in them and be healed?" So Naaman turned and went away in rage. But his officers tried to reason with him and said, "Sir, if the prophet had told you to do something great, wouldn't you have done it? So you should certainly obey him when he says simply to go and wash and be cured." So Naaman went down to the Jordan River and dipped himself 7 times as the man of God had instructed him, and his flesh became as healthy as a young child's, and he was healed. Then Naaman and the entire party went back to find the man of God. They stood before him, and Naaman said, "I know at last that there is no God in all the world except in Israel. Now please accept my gifts." But Elisha replied, "As surely as the Lord lives, whom I serve, I will not accept any gifts." And through Naaman, and though Naaman urged him to take the gifts, Elisha refused. Then Naaman said, "All right, but please allow me to load 2 of my mules with earth from this place, and I will take it back home with me. From now on, I will never again offer any burnt sacrifices or offerings to any god except the Lord. However, may the Lord pardon me for this one thing. When my master the king goes into the temple of the god of Rimmon to worship there and leans on my arm, may the Lord pardon me when I blow too. May the Lord pardon me when I bow too." "Go in peace," Elisha said. So Naaman started home again. But Gehazi, Elisha's servant, said to himself, "My master should not have let this Aramean get away without accepting his gifts. As surely as the Lord lives, I will chase after him and get something from him." So Gehazi set off after him. When Naaman saw him running after him, he climbed out from his chariot and went to meet him. "Is everything all right?" Naaman asked. "Yes," Gehazi said, "but my master has sent me to tell you that 2 young prophets from the hill country of Ephraim have just arrived. He would like 75 pounds of silver and 2 sets of clothing to give them." "By all means, take 150 pounds of silver," Naaman insisted. He gave him 2 sets of clothing, tied up the money in 2 bags, and sent 2 of his servants to carry the gifts for Gehazi. But when they arrived at the hill, Gehazi took the gifts from the servants and sent the men back. Then he hid the gifts inside the house. When he went in to his master, Elisha asked him, "Where have you been, Gehazi?" "I haven't been anywhere," he replied. But Elisha asked him, "Don't you realize that I was there in spirit when Naaman stepped down from his chariot to meet you? Is this the time to receive money and clothing and olive groves and vineyards and sheep and oxen and servants? Because you have done this, You and your children and your children's children will suffer from Naaman's leprosy forever." When Gehazi left the room, he was leprous. His skin was as white as snow. Psalm 141, 1 through 10. O Lord, I am calling to you. Please hurry. Listen when I cry for your help. Accept my prayer as incense offered to you, and my upraised hands as an evening offering. Take control of what I say, O Lord, and keep my lips sealed. Don't let me lust for evil things. Don't let me participate in acts of wickedness. Don't let me share in the delicacies of those who do evil. Let the godly strike me. It will be a kindness. If they reprove me, it is soothing medicine. Don't let me refuse it. But I am in constant prayer against the wicked and their deeds. When their leaders are thrown down from a cliff, they will listen to my words and find them pleasing. Even as a farmer breaks up the soil and brings up rocks, so the bones of the wicked will be scattered throughout a decent burial. I look to you for help, O Sovereign Lord. You are my refuge. Don't let them kill me. Keep me out of the traps they have set for me, out of the snares of those who do evil. Let the wicked fall into their own snares, but let me escape. Proverbs 17, verse 23. A cheerful heart is good medicine, but a broken spirit saps a person's strength.